time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Welcome to the Pain Clinic for September 5th.
We're in September already. I am just bummed, man. This year is going by, but it's the year that everyone wants to finish off and forget about.
It's September 5th, 2020. Holidays today, real quick. It's Be Late for Something Day.
It's always appropriate.
And that's you, Mr. Archie.
Wait, let me come back in a couple minutes.
if we were in the studio, that would have worked perfectly. Cheese Pizza Day. International Bacon Day, National Tailgating Day, and World Beard Day. Happy 43rd birthday goes out to Sin Cara. You might remember Sin Cara. Sin Cara is no longer with the WWE, but nevertheless, Sin Cara is 43. And a happy 41st to Slick Wagner Brown. And Slick Wagner, I was going to say 2CW, but more of a... he's a 2CW staple. He was
a 2CW champion.
Yeah, he was a champion. Maybe he'll show up at the 2CW show in December. I haven't seen it announced. Maybe I did see it announced. I'm trying to remember.
I'm pretty sure he is booked for that show. Whether or not that show actually happens in September or December, we'll see. But when it happens, yeah.
I was going to say if the odds are that we get the actual show for AEW in November, then I got to say that show will definitely happen. So okay, yeah.
Not to get too sidetracked, but you've been in the Pastime Athletic Club in Syracuse. There's not a lot of room in there, so you could run a real size arena wrestling show and distance people and still have a decent sized crowd. Pastime, you can't really put that many people in if you are still under restrictions. So,
yeah, I guess we'll find out.
Little difference there.
Okay, we'll see what happens as we get closer to it. I want to let you know, Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Don't Slight Empire Culver. Interested in roller derby? Want to be a skater? Officiate? Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. If you're interested in the men's team, it's the Flower City Fear, F-L-O-U-R, Flower City Fear. Look them up, flowercityfear.com. And welcome to the show today. I am the Cash Man, your humble host, and the three squares of knowledge with me this week are Furby. How you doing, buds?
I'm doing great.
And you got Danger this week. He actually got in, so apparently computer problems no longer, sir.
Taken care of for the time being. It's an old laptop.
I will say, if you hear bubbling, Danger has a fish. So I think you got the fish running the machineries there, keeping things going, right?
It's something like that.
Okay, Andy Ortiz joining us from Rochester, New York. We're here to talk about the world of pro wrestling, as always. And we want to thank you for listening. We got a lot of things to talk about today. A lot of things this past week. Let's start, I'm not sure what the most important one is, but there's some pretty big news out this past week. Let's go back with starting Saturday of last weekend with NXT pay-per-view and the four-way Iron Man match. Oh, no. That was on TV this past week. I got to talk about
that. Yeah, that was Tuesday.
Yeah, that was this. I meant Tuesday. The pay-per-view was a week ago, over a week and a half ago. But the four-way Iron Man match, I think that was a Pretty wild to do an hour-long match on NXT TV with the most pins wins the NXT title from Karrion Kross, who was injured. And we got a lot of good wrestling, man. There was just some insane stuff going on. A very, very good match. I would almost give it a match of the year, except for that I wasn't satisfied with the ending. And I'll just throw that out right there. Anytime you have an Iron Man match, and the only last time I remember we had an Iron Man match, there was a tie. We went to overtime. I believe that was WrestleMania 12? No, 14? I don't know, the one that Shawn Michaels beat Bret Hart in, the main event.
I think it was 12.
12. Four more. They went 5 more minutes after that, and it was resolved. Now, we couldn't do that with NXT this week because it was on TV. So we had two guys tied at 2. What did you guys think about that? I mean, are they dragging this out? We know for a fact that this coming week on NXT we're going to get Adam Abebe versus Finn Balor, and for whoever wins that match is going to win the NXT title. So, what do you guys think? Any thoughts on this?
I thought it was a good match. I like the match. I like the timing at the end. I thought they did that very well. If you're going to do that ending that no one actually liked, and at least they timed it right, and they didn't have like the pin come after the 1 second. But you can see that pinfall is not actually 3 full seconds either in that too. But
let me mention one thing. Did it look like Adam Cole was having problems getting the guy rolled over at the very end, and the time was coming?
He was doing it on purpose.
Oh, you think so?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
He wanted to time it perfectly. But I don't like the ending. I don't like the dragging out a week. You're going to, especially being on Tuesday, you're not going to have the competition from Wednesdays. So there's no need. Like, yes, people are going to come watch anyways. You saw this week their numbers didn't, they stayed well. They did very well. There's no point in doing that ending. I don't like it. And it comes off as false advertising.
It was disappointing because knowing I saw that there was some sort of spoiler out there, and it kind of ruined the ending for me. And I didn't mean to click on it, but I saw that there was going to be an ending where it said fans would not like it. So I knew kind of going into it that I may not like what I'm going to see. My biggest thing that I was saying all week is that when Cole finally covered him for the pin, the ref didn't start counting till 2, and he miraculously beats the 3 count before the buzzer goes off. But I think we'll still get a great match out of it, obviously. So I can't complain too much. We could see Baylor, Cole. You know, who cares? We're going to get a great wrestling match. But I wish that, you know, lately I've seen a lot of the Iron Man matches go down to like the last couple seconds. I almost kind of wish someone would have a convincing lead going into it just to make it different. But
so I'm going to jump in here as Mr. Negative. obviously said I was looking forward to the match. The match was good. I really wish every company that does an Iron Man match would start putting an actual score clock on the screen or on the Tron or whatever to make it seem more authentic, especially with a tape show like that. The timing was cool in the end in those last few seconds, but like they could edit that however they wanted to make it good because it wasn't live and there were no fans there and there's no time on the screen in the background. I was excited for the match, and then earlier in the day I was thinking about it and was just like, matches that involve more than 2 people often aren't that great, really. They get hyped up, but an Iron Man match is impressive because you have 2 wrestlers going at war with each other for a full hour. When you add a 3rd or 4th person in there, all you're doing is giving everybody a chance to take tons of breaks. Like, they're on the outside, they're not on screen right now. It kind of devalued the whole thing to me, where I would have rather it had just been a one-on-one. So I'm going to say that my expectations are that Cole and Balor one-on-one will be a better match than the Iron Man match was. I don't think it was a terrible match, but that's far from a best Iron Man match or like match of the year candidate for me.
Oh yeah, and I agree. And one thing, it was like Cole was out of the ring for like the last 5 minutes of that match. I mean, obviously he was waiting for the signal to come up and get in there and finish it. But what we saw going on in the ring before Cole came in was just just, you know, Ciampa and Gargano just killing each other in the ring. And there was like some just some insane spots in that match. And you're right. I think the ending kind of killed it for me as being like, you know, a match of the year type of thing, because there was no conclusive win. I did not look for spoilers on it myself, because I knew that it was recorded the day, you know, the day after they did NXT last week or whatever.
Well, and I mean, like when Furby brought up like the spoiler thing too, like the problem these days, back in the day, I remember helping run the Pain Clinic website in 2001, and we'd find the spoilers, post them, and you click on them if you want to see them. But now we're in this age, we talked about this before, I think, like, people are posting spoilers on Facebook comments, on tweets that get suggested for you and stuff. People are spoiling it for people who don't want it to be spoiled.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm happy at least NXT's got to find a way to make sure none of these leaks happen, because I heard the same thing, like, before the finish, that there was a chance it was going to be some kind of schmoz, some kind of tie, whatever. I'm happy that now the AEW is bringing crowds back, that it looks like they're committed to doing live shows. I don't want anything spoiled more than anything. I don't really care. I care more about that than whether or not there are fans in the building or anything else. I don't want anything spoiled for me, or else I lose interest in watching, regardless of what it is.
And that was the worst thing about it, is because I didn't even mean to see it, and it just kind of brought everything out of my soul and wanting to watch it, because I knew something was going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, that's a lot of like NXT fans are like going out of their way to try to spoil AEW, and AEW fans are trying to go out of their way to spoil NXT and stuff, like part of this like war that they're not really in. Like, can we just not?
I know. Everybody tries to make a big rivalry out of it. Like, okay, yeah, it is, but we're all wrestling fans, so just all appreciate it. And then you got to ruin somebody else's,
yeah,
you know, Tuesday night because I knew what was going to happen.
Yep.
Danger.
I'm just going to jump in really quick though and say that I did not click on the spoilers. I saw them reported. I wouldn't click on anything. I stayed off most social media because I just actually wanted to watch the match. I had a feeling it was going to do something funny like that, but I didn't read the spoilers. However, say if something takes place live, like NXT takes place live on Saturday with a takeover. If you say something on Saturday after it's done, or Sunday, that is not a spoiler. If it's already aired and live on TV, it's not a spoiler. I don't care what anybody says.
I 1,000,000% agree with that. Yeah. And my argument with that, like, I've had that argument with people a lot.
Oh, yeah.
My argument with that is, like, as somebody who's run social media accounts for hockey teams, am I supposed to wait until, like, 2 days later to post a score in case somebody was going to watch it on a delay or something? Like, no. We live in an age where things happen live. So I agree. It's not a spoiler at that point, but if it hasn't aired yet, then it's messed up.
Oh, and I've seen people yell at other people saying, thanks, guys, though it was already aired. You know, it's like, I don't have a problem with that. I have a problem with spoilers they put the spoilers in the headline on social media where you can't avoid it because you see the headline. You know, it falls in like someplace in your news feed. And it's like, oh, come on. I'll give you a real quick example. Now, listen, it's not surprising that I like the TV show Stargirl. Okay. It's on CW. Well, they said you're going to be disappointed in the last minute when this guy shows up in the headline, and it's like I wanted to watch the season finale without not knowing that, and it was just kind of disappointing that I went into it, and because the show aired the day before on the DC whatever fan site or whatever, but that just kind of things like that make me angry. But we're gonna go to break on this. I just want to talk a little bit about Payback when we get on the back on the flip side. And Payback was last weekend, and there's a couple things that just stuck out to me, but also there's some good in-depth conversation there, guys. I'm hoping maybe we'll get where we probably will get an incredible match this week though on NXT, and we're gonna go to break on that. You're listening to Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
Fox Sports 1280 Rochester.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I am the Cash Man. I am here with Furby, the Artiste, and Danger Boy, and you. And a little Balls Mahoney theme there from AC/DC. We're here to talk about the world of pro wrestling. Did want to mention that Salvatore's is opening in the garage door for they're opening their restaurant area this week. So you can go in and get some food, and hopefully we'll be there back there doing UFC pay-per-views real soon. But right now we're talking about the world of pro wrestling, and I kind of tease going.
Cheers.
There we go. Look at that. Oh my goodness. I got hold on. You got to hold that up again so I can take a picture of it for the people who aren't on Facebook Live watching us right now. Okay. Oh, yum, yum. So we're going to, IT's going into the break. We're going to talk about Payback. And there's a couple things that stood out about Payback to me. One, it was a solid pay-per-view. Okay. I mean, without expectations, I enjoyed it, and it ended early. And one, we got to see two clean finishes by two young guys over two old guys. We got to see Keith Lee beat Randy Orton, and then we got to see Matt Riddle beat Baron Corbin, and it's like, and both of them were clean. Kind of shocking, you know. I thought they'd find a way to not have Randy Orton lose, because, you know, I mean, he can't lose to everybody, can he? But one last thing, and I'll let you guys talk about it in a second. We had Rey Mysterio in a match in which he got injured, which is no surprise for Rey Mysterio, but he pretty serious injury, though. Danger, what do you think about the pay-per-view? Did you enjoy it as much as I did?
I had a good time with the pay-per-view. It's good to see them actually building at least one new star. I'm still not giving them credit for Matt Riddle yet. It was only Baron Corbin, and he beat him up afterwards. But true. I give him credit for Keith Lee. I mean, they had him beat Randy Orton clean in about 7 minutes. And, you know, the rumors coming out of it were Vince McMahon told Randy Orton to make Keith Lee look like a star, and they did. And they continued that on Monday. Even, you know, he didn't take the pin in that three-way, but he looked great in it. And I'm glad to see them actually building on somebody. We'll see if that continues going past their three-week push they normally do. But I have it was a nice pay-per-view. It was a little fun. It was short. It was only like 2.5 hours. It kept my attention. It was something nice to do on a Sunday, and they had some good matches.
I thought it was definitely entertaining, especially considering they ran shows back-to-back Sundays. You know, I know last week I said SummerSlam was probably the most, you know, entertaining show they've ran in a long time. Well, they backed it up again with another entertaining show. I'm not saying it was spectacular by any means, but it was definitely good to build off of SummerSlam. And I think some of the television we're starting to see now is starting to gain a little bit more momentum. I'm not going to try to give them too much credit, but definitely the Thunderdome is definitely helping out. I was definitely very happy with a lot of the stuff that I saw on Sunday night. You know, the expectation of Bayley and Sasha dropping the banks, that happened. You know, I'm looking forward to that feud finally happening. You know, going to the main event, I know that was a big topic of conversation with Roman Reigns coming back, you know, now as a heel character with Paul Heyman. I think that was done just about as perfect as it possibly could have been to really build him as the main heel on SmackDown. And I think that was actually probably as close to perfection as possible.
Well, let me insert one little note here. The crowd booed Roman Reigns after he won. Now, the crowd in the arena is wrestling wrestlers and trainees and stuff. So, obviously, they were instructed. So, obviously, Roman Reigns is coming back in a heel with Heyman. And we're going to get into a little bit why Heyman maybe have been put to with Reigns in a little bit. But I just want to throw that out there, that remember, they're still not in front of crowds. And when you're hearing these boos and whatnot, you know, they're either being piped in or it's the people, you know, around the ring that they're getting to do that. So, Rob, what'd you think?
I mean, I think Roman had to win the match. I don't have any complaints about that at all. I think it worked how he kind of came out late.
The imploded ring.
And everything there.
Yeah, the imploded ring there, you know, still. You know.
That I didn't like, just because a lot of us noticed as soon as the show started that they didn't have the LED ring skirt or apron. They didn't have the LED ring posts, and then you kind of knew something was going to happen. And I don't know. It was so cool the first time it was done. Now, over and over, like, let's not do this again for at least a decade, please. Like, it's not special anymore to me. Pay-per-view was good. I don't know. Like, a lot of it felt kind of the same as the week before. I don't really have many complaints. some of the same feuds. Orton showed how good and versatile he is and how meaningful he is to the company once again. Helped make Keith Lee a quote-unquote main roster star. I don't know. I really liked that it was a shorter pay-per-view, too. I don't know if we need a full hour kickoff show where you kind of have to watch to see the match on there if you want to see the Iconics. Oh, wait, now you can't watch them because apparently they're split up, which I hate that happening because I like them. But I don't know. Overall, good show. Weird, no retribution on the pay-per-view. Kind of seems like that's not really important if they're not going to be a part of either pay-per-view in back-to-back weeks. But overall, an okay pay-per-view. I like SummerSlam better, but I mean, there wasn't a huge drop-off.
No, yeah, and you know, I didn't mention that I do enjoy seeing two people team together who shouldn't be teaming together win the title, and that would be, of course, the women's tag titles changing hands. So now Bayley only having one and Sasha having zero now, and I don't know if that really pushed forward their split, because they didn't really split. No one beat each other up. It wasn't a true, like, Shawn Michaels super kicking Marty Jannetty through the barber.
It's not time yet.
Okay.
Coming.
I'm expecting too much, apparently.
I want to talk about the women's tag team division real quick. There's literally only one women's tag team left, the Riot Squad. Like, every team that was a team is no longer a team. They're splitting everybody up. So what's the point of having a women's tag team division if there's no established tag teams? It confuses me.
And they've done this before.
Along those same lines, too, like, does AEW really need these couple women's tag teams right now if they don't even have the belts and stuff? Like, I'm fine. Like, I want more women's matches overall, but I agree. Like, the WWE women's tag division has just been a disappointment. It's a much more of a disappointment today than it was a few days ago.
I don't mind them pushing the women's wrestlers. I like women's wrestling. It's just, if you're going to have a tag division, at least build some tag teams. And they're not.
And the Iconics were one of the only ones they had. Sasha and Bayley, obviously we knew that split was going to happen at some point, whatever. But yeah, the Riot Squad barely even counts because they, like, do you even really, they like, just, they're barely back together. They weren't together.
Yeah,
like,
they were feuding. They were feuding not too long ago. Now, when I remember them having a women's tag division before, I don't know if it was the 80s or early 90s, and they pretty much, you know, shelved the belts when there was no women's tag teams anymore. You know, I mean, so where are we now? You know, I mean, with women's tag matches,
Women's tag division seems so unimportant compared to the women's singles titles. Like, those belts are not on the same level of importance whatsoever. The women's tag team belts are like the pre-show, with the singles belts being the main event of the main show. They got to figure something out or just abandon it or something.
Yeah, do you guys have any thoughts on Ray getting hurt? Is he, like, suddenly gone into Kevin Nash territory when every time he has a big match, he's out for, like, 9 months?
Well, he's getting there. I mean, this time at least he doesn't actually need surgery on the injury. It's torn tricep, but it's not the real bad tear, so he's only going to be out for a few months instead of, you know, forever. But the fact they replaced him with his son in a match to challenge for the heavyweight title, you know, I know it was a couple matches before that, but that was insane. Dominic Mysterio should not be in that position, ever.
I mean, Rey Mysterio never should have won the World Heavyweight Championship in the first place, but I don't know. Ray's going to get hurt right now. What do you expect from a guy who only has one eye? I mean,
that's true.
He couldn't see it coming.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, and, you know, I think in the real world, in the real professional world, if you're blinded in one eye, there's a lot of sports you can't do, you know. So, you know, but, you know, maybe he's just got a visor over one eye right now. But, it was a nice pay-per-view. It got done early, and it's just really pretty, you know, pretty much now we've got 4 weeks, and it's like, I don't know if WWE is going to know how to build up a pay-per-view with this much time between them, because they're just rushing everything. You know, still having issues with the Thunderdome during the pay-per-view. We got to see some more KKK guys this past week. What else did we see? There were some... I know that we talked about it last week. Kenny Omega showed up for a few seconds on one of the TV screens. I can't think of what else showed up, but still having issues with that Thunderdome, those TV screens, you know. But you know, you ride the restrictions. They probably can come back and sue you if they find out what you're doing. But so why don't we go to break on that? We've got some definitely some more stuff to talk about. I want to talk about AEW All Out, which is this weekend. This is the second time they've had an All Out, right? Is that what it is? The first. I remember last year, Daniel Bryan's contract was supposed to run out 2 days before All Out, and then he ended up re-signing. So that was kind of one of the biggest things that people were waiting for, was to see who was going to show up. And we'll talk a little bit about the pay-per-view, go down some of our favorite matches. It's Saturday night, folks. It's on tonight, so you're definitely going to see it if you have the eye of the tiger. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man with Danger Boy, the Artiste, and Furby, and you. And no, CM Punk will not be showing up at AEW All Out this weekend. It would be nice. I really believe that he's pulling one on over us, and I think that he's going to be doing something in the world of wrestling real soon, without a doubt. But we're going to talk a little bit about the All Out pay-per-view that's going on this Saturday night. Got a great card. Great. I thought this past Wednesday's AEW show was a very solid show for building this pay-per-view up. I definitely enjoyed Jericho beating the tar out of Joey Janela, and then having Orange Cassidy come in to save the day, which... Yeah, it's kind of fun. It's just kind of silly. I mean, you know, we were talking last week about who we thought was like the MVP, and I went on Twitter this past week and said I thought Orange Cassidy was the MVP of the COVID-19 era of wrestling, and he's definitely up. He should be counted in that list, but a lot of people just had their WWE blinders on. But let's look at the pay-per-view and talk a little bit about some of the stuff that's going to be going on. We've got... And I'm trying to figure out what's the Young Bucks angle? Are they like healing themselves? Are they kind of like healing out? Because I have a feeling they're kind of like making scoured faces, and you know, and not being team players with like Jurassic Express this past week, which is leading to a match.
Yes, they walked up the heel entrance too.
Oh, that's
right. When they left, they walked in the heel entrance.
Oh, that's right. I didn't think about where they were going. So it's like, that's going to be probably the first match on the pay-per-view, Jurassic Express versus the Young Bucks. The Young Bucks are always entertaining. Some people don't get them. I get that, you know, but I enjoy them immensely.
Well, we're going to get that one women's match cinematically on the pre-show, I guess. With the tooth and nail match.
Oh, with
it's supposed to be in the dentist's office.
I wouldn't. That's the assumption, which is probably better than if it was live.
Also very true.
Well, it's Britt Baker and Swall, right? And Britt Baker is, up until this week, she'd been limping with crutches. Up until this week. And this week, there's nothing wrong with Britt Baker, you know? She came out and...
There's still something wrong with her. That's why they're doing a cinematic match.
Oh, there's still something
wrong. I can almost guarantee she's probably not cleared to wrestle an in-ring match currently, and that's why they're doing it cinematically.
Okay. So, but the big Swall came out in the middle of an interview, and in the middle of an interview got a pizza delivered to her, which and then had her face shoved in it, which definitely.
I've seen movies that start like that.
Yeah. And so after that,
not my favorite women's angle or feud or whatever, which. Compared to the other women's part of Dynamite, I thought Thunder Rosa and Serena Deeb was one of the best women's matches on TV in a very long time. Maybe AEW's best women's match.
Yeah.
The lack of women's division in AEW when they bring in two outsiders and they have the best women's match that's been in the company.
Well, I gotta say,
I want Thunder Rosa to win on Saturday. I hope there's a working agreement. I want Thunder Rosa to win that title.
Thunder Rosa comes in as the NWA Women's whole title holder, and takes on Serena Deeb, who is the fiance or girlfriend of Cesaro, right? Am I right there?
No.
I've got the wrong
Sarah
person.
Del Rey.
Sorry, Sarah Del Rey. I'm sorry. I'm confused there. But
Serena Deeb is a former trainer, though, for WWE as well.
Yeah, and Serena Deeb was also...
She's in Straight Edge Society as well.
She got her head shaved. She got her head shaved with Dewey here.
And that's why I was so impressed with it, because Serena has mostly been a trainer, and even a couple years before that, like, she hasn't been active. And especially, like, right now, like, people aren't really getting a lot of ring time and stuff anyway, but, like, I think we know how good Thunder Rosa is. We've seen NWA and everything else, whatever, but, like, Serena's still killing it with that match for... I mean, she's probably had five matches over the past 5 years. I mean, sure, you're in a performance center, you're getting in the ring, you're getting some reps, stuff like that, but that match was just so crisp. It was awesome.
Yeah, I think it was
actually my match the entire week for any company.
And I think it was absolutely incredibly smart for them to do that, to have Serena Deeb in there with Thunder Rosa. Stylistically, it was a beautiful match. And the first time you're going to put Thunder Rosa on TNT, on AEW, to get her that, you know, large exposure. Obviously, a lot of wrestling fans know who she is. But for the people who may not know who she is, that's a beautiful job of the way that they did it. And it made her look terrific. And also, I mean, Serena Deeb looked fantastic too. I mean, that's a great way to build.
Like, some people were complaining that Thunder Rosa didn't get a squash match. It was like, no, that match made sense, because if you haven't seen her and she's about to have a pay-per-view match for the title, then let her show what she can really do against a real opponent in a nice length of a match. Yep. Don't, like, the squash match isn't going to do anything. Especially for a company that doesn't really do many squash matches in the first place.
Let her show the audience how good she really is. And they did that.
Yeah, well, and the funny thing is, did they know that they were going to have Thunder Rosa versus Sheeta on the pay-per-view this weekend before they brought in Thunder Rosa? I mean, they must have been working on this for a while, because that's in the lineup for the pay-per-view now.
I mean, I think that was the whole agreement that Tony Khan and Billy Corgan worked out with that. I think, like, that was, but we just don't know how long it's going to last, because I mean, now we learned more this week about MLW coming back. We talked about ROH and everything else and stuff. NWA is still kind of the question mark. So I agree. It would kind of kill Sheeta in a lot of ways, but give Thunder Rosa the belt on Saturday and let her carry it for a while and put a little fire in that division.
Hey, you know what? I wouldn't mind if they made a three-way, put Serena Deeb in there too, after what she did on Wednesday night. You know, I mean, she definitely showed that she can work with anybody, so...
I think there's definitely going to be some sort of working arrangement. I mean, they did announce the women's title match a couple weeks ago. I think it might have been the Saturday Night Dynamite.
Okay.
Because they had contract signing last Thursday. Not to forget about NWA, they've got that another working relationship with, I think, United Wrestling, that's going to be on Fight TV doing weekly pay-per-views. So NWA and United Wrestling got that little bit of a clash. And to tease, September 15th is the debut on that. Mike Bennett faces the world's champion.
I saw that,
Nick Aldis for the championship.
Yeah, he threw out a challenge, and Nick Aldis said sure. So also some other matches on that pay-per-view, of course. We've got the Dark Order versus Cardona, Rhodes, QT Marshall, and Scorpio Sky. Now, what is Brody Lee doing? He looked like he turned his back on his own people sort of this past week, or, you know. Strike that. That's not correct. We didn't see him at all this week, did we? I was going to say, I'm trying to remember.
No, they just showed like a recap video type thing.
Yeah.
They weren't live at all. So
yeah, I was going to say a week after he won the belt, they didn't go with him. They didn't go, but the show was pretty packed already. But he's going to be part of the Dark Order in this match going on, and that we've.
Yeah, seen. I mean, that's why. Like, I think the whole him winning the belt from Cody was so well done. Last week's celebration wasn't perfect, but it definitely helped, and I liked it. Then going into the pay-per-view, I mean, they didn't appear live. They didn't really do anything. I honestly, this week was one of my least favorite Dynamites as like a go-home for a pay-per-view. I thought there was a lot missing to hype up. Eight-man tag after eight-man tag, it just doesn't feel nearly as important as like when Brody wrestled Cody one-on-one, for example. Like, eight-man's, to me, you're starting to become kind of throwaways. And obviously, you've got a ton of talent in that match. especially with Cardona in there and Sky and everybody. But I just, I don't know. It's not, to me, it just doesn't seem like a highlighted part of this show. And they could have done more this week to help people care about that more for Saturday night.
Well, yeah, I mean, since that match has been announced, Cardona, QT Marshall, Dustin Rhodes, and Scorpio Sky, I don't think they've been on Dynamite. So, I mean, it kind of felt...
Well, we got Cardona last week. They had We got the, it was the Best Friends. That's right. We had the four with the.
He came out and did his move on the stage or whatever and stuff. But there just hasn't been, a whole lot of build up for this compared to other stuff. I feel like I just it's just one of those matches that's kind of lost in the shuffle right now.
Yeah, I mean, right now they're worried more about Jericho and Orange Cassidy trying to break the 1-1 tie, which we got. Like I talked about a second ago with Jericho beating up Joey Janela there and having Cassidy come out. And also, of course, Moxley and MJF, which, to be honest with you, is going to be a great match, I think. And I think we're going to – I have a feeling we're going to get a title change just because the amount of TV time they've put into MJF building this up, I would be disappointed. And I love Moxley. I just, just the time has been going to MJF. I think that they want to build this up. What do you guys think about that one? Is MJF going to get the title?
I think MJF definitely takes the title.
I have no idea what to think. I really don't. Like, I go back and forth with it. I mean, they're going to have fans there, so you can get kind of the reaction. MJF can win it dirty. I don't know where they go with Moxley after that if he drops it right now. Like we talked about, I don't know if MJF is fully ready for it. But if I have to make a prediction, MJF, but barely.
What are you, Danger?
I want MJF to win, and I was hoping they were building him up to win. And I think they're going to stick with Moxley. After watching what happened this week, I think he's going to pull it out somehow. I don't want him to. But I think he's going to.
Do you think that maybe we'll get a little tease of Renee Young, possibly? Because she can now be in the crowd, I believe.
I mean, she said that her no-compete goes, like, way more than 90 days. So I don't think you're going to see her. I think you will see her in some capacity there at some point, but not for a long time. I think she's just chilling right now.
She's just chilling. Okay, so we mentioned Sheeta and Thunder Rosa. We do have Matt Hardy and Sammy Guevara in a broken rules match. I don't think that got much time.
Hate that stipulation. Yeah. Like, you had the tables match on TV, which you didn't need to do yet. That could have just been the pay-per-view match that you build up to. And then you put in the stipulation that Matt Hardy's gone from AEW if he loses. Does anybody think he's going to lose then? No. He just got there.
No.
Yep. Like, I mean, he's, yeah.
Either that or he'll debut a new character the next week who is not Matt Hardy. I mean, you know. He's done that before.
Yeah, who's your takers on the Casino Battle Royal? Who do you think's going to win?
That's a good question. There is that Casino Battle Royal going on. I don't know. They've got so many people they're not using right now. It's like, we got to see, at least we got, last week we got to see Jake the Snake come out with his guy, and we got to see some of Jericho's guys get involved in stuff. I don't know. It's a good question.
I kind of feel like it has to be Darby or Archer or Cage.
Yeah.
Like if it's not one of those, like, because all three of those guys really need it right now, to be honest.
Sure.
If MJF takes the title, then maybe it makes sense for Darby to be the one to win it. But I don't, as much as I would love it to be, Butcher or Blade or Billy Gunn or somebody, I'm going to say probably Darby. But but Lance Archer's totally lost in the shuffle right now.
Big time, big time.
Got to do something real with Brian Cage soon.
Yeah,
yeah.
My hot
take on this, and if they don't rush the future championship stipulation on this,
dial 1-900 Furby. It's a hot take from Furby this week. 1-900 Furby. It's a 99-cent charge.
Five free bets.
but my prediction is Sean Spears, and the reason being. Is because I finally think they're going to make a formulation of this tag or this team faction stable of FTR, Adam Page, and Sean Spears with Tully Blanchard.
Okay. That's,
And that's no better way to build up a dominant faction with tag team champions FTR, Battle Royal winner Sean Spears, and former tag champ Adam Page going full heel.
All right, we got to go to break. We're running late. I will say we got one more match to mention. We'll do that on the flip side. You're listening to Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. It's our last segment this Saturday. I want to thank you guys, and thank you for listening, and thank you guys for showing up this week. Furby, Danger Boy, the Artiste. Maybe DC will come back next week. Who knows? We'll see. But we got one last match to talk about on this card, and that would be the AEW pay-per-view tonight, All In. If you are all out, I'm sorry. Not All In. That was another one. But if you order it, you definitely check it out. You get a pay-per-view. How do you get the pay-per-view, Furby? It's through
You can get it on Fight TV or on Bleacher Report Live.
Bleacher Report Live, that's what it is. So you definitely don't want to miss this one. This was definitely a great build-up. You know, and I'll say something about AEW. They've had great numbers. Even, you know, they had one of their best numbers this past week up against nobody, which is great. And there was no NXT against them. I love it seeing the numbers that all these shows are doing. You know, being unopposed, it just shows you that there are a lot of wrestling fans out there. And you know what? When NXT is not opposed, it gets higher numbers. When AEW is not opposing NXT, it gets higher numbers. So it just shows you that, you know, and AEW is legit. For all those people who think that, you know, that there aren't, they're legit. Those numbers are enough to substantiate the big contract they got to be on TNT. So you definitely are missing out if you're not catching up on it, and you're missing my man Orange Cassidy, who is the next best thing in this world right now. But there's one match left, and we didn't really go through the Jericho Orange Cassidy mimosa match. I don't know what's going on with that, but I'm guessing they're gonna have a giant glass, and maybe they'll have, like, you know, some champagne and some orange juice in it. Maybe you gotta put the other guy in the glass. I have no idea what the stipulations of this match are. So that's why I didn't really bring it up. But I do want to talk about FTR versus Kenny Omega, Hangman Page for the AEW tag titles. After Hangman Page was kicked out of the Elite a couple weeks ago, Kenny Omega's still teaming with him. So it's like, I think that Kenny Omega's still in the Elite as far as I know. So, I would love to see the titles change, go to FTR. They're a true team. They're old school, and now they've got Tully Blanchard with them being their manager. I'm going to go with FTR. What do you guys think about this match?
I think it has to be FTR. I think that's maybe the most predictable match on the show, but I don't see any way you don't give them the belts, even if everybody's expecting it. I think the only thing that we kind of got to wait and see is, does Paige turn on Omega? Does Paige show up late for the match? There was also a little bit of a teaser on Being the Elite this week with Kenny Omega and his old cleaner sunglasses, his old gimmick. It would be nice to see maybe Kenny turns. Maybe we don't need an Elite at all anymore. So I think that's more of the storyline. But, yeah, FTR's got to win.
I would actually love if they just get rid of the Elite. It got them there. It did what it needed to do. But stop hanging on the fact that there was this Elite beforehand. Kind of go out and make your own way. And I think that would, I think it would kind of make it even better and establish them even as bigger stars. You know, let the Bucks go be heel tag team or face tag team. Let them go be show stealers. Let Omega be Omega, and let Paige be Paige. Let them be their own guy. And I think that would be awesome.
Danger.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure FTR is getting those belts, and they're going to go on and do the Bucks feud that everybody wanted. And something's going to happen with Omega and Adam Cole. Adam Cole. Adam Page.
Yeah.
I wish something would happen with Omega and Adam Cole. That'd be pretty fun to watch.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. Well, it was funny that it's funny. those guys, I think, are definitely. I mean, that feud could make Kenny Omega. Maybe that'd be a good thing, you know, if those guys split up finally. But, you know, I was going to say, you know, FTR with their signature shirts on this past week, and Tully having one with his name on it too. You know, they're all wearing. You know, they're all synced. You know, so it can only be good things for FTR. But that's going to be exciting too. I enjoy AEW. And I hope that we get to see him in Rochester in November. But we've got only a couple minutes left. I wanted to go through some news pieces, get your guys' thoughts on it. One of the first news piece was, and I thought this was interesting, was The Rock came out this week and said that he and his family, both him, his wife, and his two daughters, both tested positive for COVID-19 and have gone through it already. And he said it was pretty rough on him and his wife, but his kids got through it pretty easily. And not only did he come out and say that, but then Kevin Nash came out and admitted that he had been positive for COVID-19. And then the one that topped it all, AJ Styles, came out and said he was positive for that period when he wasn't on TV for about 3 or 4 weeks, that he had tested positive. So, man, this is serious stuff, guys. I mean, this is... You know, I mean, wear those damn masks.
Catch COVID if the earth was flat.
COVID fell off the earth.
Just falls off the end, yeah. Just like that whole, it's just going to end December 31st at midnight, yeah.
Oh, man, but isn't that crazy how all these people that don't think you have to wear a mask and everything, and then all these people who come out finally and say, hey, I got it, man, wear that damn mask, you know, it's going to help. So, but AJ Styles, that one surprised me. He did it, you know, when he was gaming on Twitch or something, and he just started talking about it. So, and Kevin Nash doesn't surprise me. I mean, if he is wrestling, he got hurt in a match, and you know, he's going to be the first one to get COVID-19, right? But, you know, it just was a pretty big news though when that came out. So, some other big news this week. Brock Lesnar is no longer under contract for WWE, and that has a lot to do with why we're seeing Heyman with Roman Reigns. Brock Lesnar is a free agent, folks. He can show up anywhere, and there's been talks of him in UFC. There's been talks about, you know, today Tony Khan had a press conference, and some people brought up Brock Lesnar's name to him. What do you guys think Brock Lesnar should do? And I mean, obviously staying in the world of professional wrestling is my best bet for him, because he can make a lot of money and not get really hurt. But then UFC is like talking him and John Jones. So I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think it's interesting. It's interesting it came out this week that Brock Lesnar was a free agent because they pulled his merchandise, but he's really been out of contract since WrestleMania. So the fact it's coming up means either he's getting ready to renegotiate with Vince and he's using it to get some more money because of the UFC thing, or he wants to get back with Vince and get some more money because of the UFC thing, or he really was going to fight John Jones like they looked like they were setting up a couple of years ago. If he wrestles again, if he does pro wrestling again, he, as much as it would be a giant coup for him to go to AEW and they have money they could throw at him, he's wrestling for Vince, and that's the only person he's going to wrestle for.
Let me throw something out there. He also, the reason that they took all his merchandise down is because contract negotiations stopped, because they were in negotiations, and now they're done. And so they're taking a little bit of a split. So I'm just throwing that out there, but this is a past tense when it comes to contract negotiations. So he is truly a
free. It's happened before, it'll happen again. This is what Brock does.
It's just a never-ending cycle. I fully expect he'll be back in WWE. I would love to see AEW throw a boatload of cash at him, but he'll be back in WWE after a little more of a break. I don't see him going back to UFC. I don't know. I just don't. That long of a layoff, whatever, to go fight for real. Like, I don't know.
And Jones will kill him.
He's too old.
Yeah, at this age, I don't see him going back in the octagon to face probably the best fighter in the world. So.
Okay, so we'll see what happens. I guess maybe he'll get an offer from Tony, then go back to Vince, and Vince will shoot it up a bit. But some other news.
Tony should just offer him 10 times what Vince offers him. Because AEW getting that kind of exposure this early in their run would be huge.
Yeah, it was like Mike Tyson. He was about to give him some big stuff, and then he went to a boxing match. But some other news, Mauro Ranallo is no longer with WWE. We talked about last week how he had to go home for a family emergency. And it's a little bit more than that. He's done with WWE. I know that Mr. Artis is happy about that. I love Mauro.
I really like Mauro as a person. He's just not my favorite of all the play-by-play guys. I don't even dislike him necessarily, but I'm more upset about Renee.
Sure.
Did you see Nigel might be coming back in a couple weeks for UK?
Sure, Nigel. Yeah. Definitely Nigel's coming back. So, Danger, what do you think? Morrow, you happy about? I'm happy for Morrow because he's got some issues, you know, and he's got to figure them out.
Morrow's got to take care of his mother, too. His mother's having a rough time of it. That's why he had to leave right before SummerSlam weekend. But I liked Morrow on NXT. I will say I've liked what Wade Barrett's done so far, and I wish Vic Joseph would just shut up.
But yeah. Vic Joseph is the Michael Cole of NXT. You need that guy to do that stuff. Some real quick pointers. The countdown to AEW All Out, they're going to have a countdown on TNT. It's going to be at 5:30 on Saturday. You can tune in for free and watch the pre-show. Bullet Bob Armstrong, rest in peace, passed away Wednesday, August 26th at the age of 80. He was battling bone cancer. That's a pretty painful way to die. He went to the WWE Hall of Fame in 2011. I remember him well because him and Roddy Piper had quite the feud when Roddy Piper was down in Georgia Championship Wrestling. Rest in peace. One last piece of news. Gabe Sapolsky, he issued a statement this past week announcing that he had departed from WWN. It was an indie that he was running. He's going to retire from the position, and apparently because of Evolve being purchased by WWE, he's going to go to work for WWE. So we're going to see where that leads him to. But we got to get out of here. I want to thank you guys.
Congratulations to Eric Young on getting the Impact title.
Yeah, EY doesn't win a match in WWE, but he comes in and wins the title on Tuesday Night Impact. Congratulations, EY. And sorry for the Iconics never being able to team again. It's kind of stupid. But, hey, folks, thank you, Furby. Thank you, Danger. Thank you, Mr. Artiste. And thank you guys for listening. We'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. And check us out online, thepainclinic.net. You can hear all our old shows as well as on iTunes. We'll see you next week, folks.
The NHL playoffs only.